Love with me. Love with me. With nothing else could help. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we love you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray this morning that if you have not yet allowed the love of God to touch your heart in a manner and in a way that it would change your life, that you will allow God to do that today. Hallelujah. I believe we're living in the day of revival when souls are hungry. I feel that there's souls in this house this morning that are hungry for God. You're hungry for a change. You're hungry. Thank God for the only, and the only thing that will satisfy you is a touch from God. Thank God. The only thing that will help you today is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. Allow His love to touch you. You cannot look at Calvary and deny the love that God has for you. Hallelujah. You see Calvary, you see love, amen, personified, hanging there on a cross, amen, giving himself for you, telling you, I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to shed my blood for you. Thank God that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not just a superficial life, not a make-believe thing, not something that's plastic, but a reality. A reality. Our world is a plastic world. It's not real. Praise God. But we've got a hold of something today in the Holy Ghost that's real. It's real. Oh, hallelujah. And it's the only stable thing you will find. Everything else is reeling and rocking and shaking. But this is stable. This is firm. This is solid. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. It's the rock of ages. Oh, I appreciate my salvation today. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I would like to make mention, and I guess it's old stuff of y'all, but this is the first service that I have ever been in with my brother-in-law. And he got the Holy Ghost here about a year and a half ago. And Brother Hurd's revival. This is the first service since he got the Holy Ghost that I have been in with him, and it is beautiful to see this man. Amen. He's always been a good man, but now he's a better man, and it is just beautiful to see him sitting on this pew today. Thank God with his wife, and we're thankful for his walk with God, and as well as everyone else. But it's just been it's just something special. Amen. To see Donnie King sitting there. Praise God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask him. He can tell you about some of the plastic and make-believe. Amen. That's in our world. He can tell you about it. I want to read from the Word of God this morning in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read rather a lengthy reading. but felt this upon my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm starting to read in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then I want to stop there and go to the second chapter and begin reading the first verse. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princesses of this world that comes to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princesses of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Praise the Lord. And then I'd like to read a portion of the scripture from the third chapter, the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Praise God. Father, we are grateful this morning for your blessings. Thankful for the word of the Lord that we have read. Oh God, we seek your anointing. We seek the blessings of God. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us today. Let the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost minister, Lord, to this people. Hallelujah. As we stand here, may we be as an oracle of God. May we minister as of the ability that you give today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know, I've read so much, and there's so many good thoughts in that, that it'd be hard to put a title on what I have to say today. And it would be hard for me just to say, well, this is what it's going to be. But we'll probably just shoot with all barrels. And it'll probably come out in a scattered manner. Praise God. But I want to talk to you this morning about the wisdom of God and the power of God versus the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world. Now, I'm all for education. I want to say that before I say anything else. I don't have much myself. I wish I had more. But I'm all for a man becoming educated and using his education to make a living. You need it. In this world we're living in, to make a living, man's got to know a little something. Amen. We're living in a sophisticated age, a time where men are being replaced with robots, and we're going to have to learn some things and know some things in this world in order to make a living and get by. And I believe the Bible declares that we should work, make a living for our own, provide for our own, and if we don't do that, he says, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. So I'm for education and learning how to make a living. I'm for all of that. The world is hung up right there on trying to teach people how to make a living. But I know that the church is not to teach men how to make a living, it's to teach men how to live. Praise God. And the Word of God is not to teach us how to make a living, but it's to tell us how to live. How we ought to live. Praise God. And so when are you comparing the wisdom of God with the wisdom of this world? And when you take the wisdom of this world, praise God, and try to depend upon that on its own, you're making a fatal mistake. A horrible mistake. Praise God, you cannot rely upon what you can learn in this world to get you by. Amen. You might get by in this world, but if you have God, with what you know, how much better you would be. How much better off you are. Hallelujah. If you have the wisdom of God and depend upon the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of man, place your faith and confidence in the wisdom of God. Amen. And don't forsake that God instructs you in. Hallelujah. Now the world is trying to teach. This scripture that says after that saying, the wisdom of God, the world, thy wisdom, knew not God. And the world is teaching a lot of things that are contrary to the Word of God and the wisdom of God. And they're trying to figure everything out in their own wisdom and in their own knowledge and by their own little finite minds and thinking. But if we would depend upon God to tell us and lead us, many times we'll learn more and know more about how it was put together. Praise God, where a man came from and the different things that we are still trying to figure out. If we just simply believe the Word of God and let it settle it in our minds and in our hearts, it's already settled with God. Hallelujah. It's already, it's not even a question. There's no question there. So if we can put what we know concerning the wisdom and the Word of God together with what we can learn in this world and not let the world's wisdom contradict the wisdom of God, we'll be doing all right. But too often it happens that young men go to school and they allow the wisdom of men to replace in their heart and in their life the wisdom of God. Praise God, amen. Put it in its rightest perspective and receive the wisdom of men as a way to make a living, and receive the wisdom of the God of our God as a way to live. Amen. Then we'll be all right. We can get by all right. Praise the Lord. But we look, and I'm not wanting to be an alarmist, and I'm not wanting to speak too negative. Praise God, but our world is sick. Amen. But it's nothing new. It's been sick a long time. But our world is sick. The world we live in today is sick. Praise God. And the society that surrounds us is an evil society. It's a violent society. My wife was reading concerning the heat wave this morning in the newspaper, and said that there were so many that were already dead and by this heat wave. And then she said that in Louisville, Kentucky, which is only about 45 miles from where we live, that there's a rash of theft where people are just stealing air conditioners. And they're stealing them out of the windows of homes and stealing them from churches, just stealing air conditioners. We're living in a time and in an age whenever people decide they want something, they just take it. They want to do something, they just do it. Amen. But yet, we're the most educated society that there has ever been. The wisdom of this world is staggering. It staggers the mind to think what men can really do. And it staggers the mind that the scripture says that men would be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. So it really should not surprise us all that much as to some of the things that are going on in our world. But as I said, it's not something that's new. I read it in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis concerning the concerning Cain. Go there with me, if you will. And the 16th verse, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Then Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. But dropping on down to the 19th verse, Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Tubal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother name was Tubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, he also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Praise the Lord. We see Cain going out from the presence of the Lord. And I might just say this today, that the further away from God that a man gets, the less ability he has to love. Amen. And the further away a society gets from God, the less the ability that society has to love. For God is love. And outside of God, you don't know love. When you walk away from the presence of God, you open yourself up to anything. Amen. When you don't know the presence and the power and the wisdom of God, praise God, you're going to know the presence and the power of the wisdom of some other God. Amen. You open yourself up to anything. The closer you are to God, the more you can love. Hallelujah, the more love you have. Amen. For God is love. Everybody say God is love. Everybody say it again. God is love. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And the society that grew from this man
and the society withdrew from his surroundings. Praise God. They became wise in their own manner. And they began to put their minds to finding out some way to live and some way to get by in the world. And Lamech became a man of renown. He was a man of fame. He was a man, no doubt, of wisdom. And unto him were born these three sons, Jubal and Jabal and Tubal-Cain. And these three men were instructors, or they were fathers, it said, of such as live in tents, and of such as grow herds of cattle, and of such as make stringed instruments and wind instruments of music, and such as build great things from brass and iron. They were builders, and from them there came the instruction and the way, because they were the fathers of that. They were the fathers of those that made tents and dwelling places and all of these things. And their wisdom grew, and they began to use the things that they had learned and the things that they had figured out. They began to use their wisdom in a new manner, in a new way for them to live and to get by in a world without God. Praise God, away from God, because Cain had taken a path that went away from God. And these people were the descendants of Cain, and therefore they were using their wisdom in a way that they did not use God in it or know God about it. They were using the beautiful things that God had made, thank God, and were using it for their own benefit and good. And so, a society of that nature came to this point, that Lamech had killed a man. He killed two men. He killed a young man and killed another young man, simply because he had bruised him. Simply because he had hurt him. Simply because maybe he had pressed by him and crushed him. And he didn't like that, so he killed him. And he felt justified in taking that man's life. And he called his wives together. They became worried. And he called his wives together. He spoke to them and said, "I have killed that young man because he bruised me. And I killed this other man because he hurt me." And he felt justified in doing that. That was the kind of a society that prevailed. That was the kind of society he felt justified in killing for a bruise and in killing for a hurt. Amen. I want you to know that was a society that was away from God. But it was a wise people. They could build. They could they invented instruments of music. They could grow herds. They could build tents and all kinds of things out of iron and all kinds of things. They were a wise people in their own manner. But in all of their wisdom, they left God completely out of the picture. And when they left God out of the picture, they came to a violent, evil society. And that's the society that Jesus looked down upon, or that God looked down upon, and said, "I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth." Amen. Amen. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Hallelujah! I believe, thank God, that while we are the generation of revival, that we are also the generation of the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for Him to split the eastern skies. I'm looking for Him to come and take a people out of the Gentiles, thank God, that has made themselves ready. I'm looking for Him to come, thank God, today. Today. Hallelujah. One of the reasons that I feel so strongly that He can come today is the fact that our society has come to the same place that the society of Noah was in the day that God destroyed that world. Hallelujah. When men will kill you for looking at them cross-eyed. When they just simply do not like what you're doing. Amen. We're living in that kind of hour. All for no reason or no purpose at all. Amen. They'll take a man's life and just have self and urge to do it. We're living in that kind of a society, and they feel justified in what they're doing. Amen. In dealing with people in our day, in dealing with some preachers and saints of God, amen, that have the Holy Ghost, that preach this message, that has settled tears and believed it for the years. When they do something wrong, I find that it's hard to find remorse, even in a child of God's soul. They feel justified in everything they do. Amen. Our world feels a justification. Oh, church, we don't need to justify ourselves. But when there's something that goes wrong in our lives, we need to get down on our face before God and say, God, forgive me and help me to be a better person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't try to justify yourself. Be remorseful. Hallelujah. When a wrong is brought to your attention, don't stand in the wisdom of the world. Don't stand in the wisdom of men. But stand in the wisdom of God and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Thank God that you may be exalted in due season. Oh, God, deliver us. Hallelujah. From the thinking of an evil and a wicked society. And give us, oh God, in our heart a will to repent. Hallelujah. And be remorseful when we do something wrong. The wisdom of the world would justify itself. They feel justification in everything that they do. But the only justification that we have is hanging on a cross. Hallelujah! Amen. The only way we can stand in the power of God and the wisdom of God today is because there was a cross. That is our wisdom. Amen. I know it looks foolish in the eyes of men. I know it looks foolish in the eyes of the world. Praise God, but I'm not interested in what the world thinks about me. I'm not interested in what the world thinks about the church. Even though I want to keep a good name, I want to keep a clean name, I want to pay my bills. Hallelujah. I want to be respected, but that's not my interest. Thank God in just keeping the respect and the esteem of the world. And in this one that hung on the cross, thank God that I'm interested in his well done. I'm interested in hearing him say, hey, man, you've done a good job. You've fought a good fight. You've kept the whole of the faith. That part of the crown lay up for you. Thank God I'm interested in his well done for the church today. Hallelujah! I'm interested in his well done for my own soul. Hallelujah! And the world, I don't know what this is, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men. But I look, and I have really never seen folly in God. But the world, the Greeks call this cross Calvary. The teaching of the cross, they call it foolishness. The Jew is a stumbling block, but the Greek is foolishness. And the question has been asked through the ages, what means this? It was asked on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. When those men were in that upper room,
and men and women, and they began to seek the face of God. Some say 7, some say 10 days. And as they sought the face of God, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. I like that. Everybody was in tune. There's no telling what would happen this morning right here if we just all get in tune. You know that? Amen. I don't know anything about music, but I know there's some notes over there that don't match other notes. And I know there's some consonant sounds, and there's some, what do they call those other ones? I forgot what they call them, but they don't sound too good. And I know that there's some sounds that just don't fit in right. Amen. And I could go over there and start playing that piano, and friend, you wouldn't like it. In fact, all of you see. But the lady that played it plays so beautifully. She's got it just in tune, and you enjoy it. And you enjoy it. And then if we would just all get in one accord, there's no telling what God would do, you know? We're all in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Amen. From heaven. Everybody say from heaven.
Amen.
As of a rushing mighty wind, till all the house where they were sitting, their fins and cloven tongues like as a thorn set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Hallelujah! If the question was that, as it was noised abroad, they saw them like drunken men, staggering, worshiping, praising, loving God. Hallelujah! Praising Him for His cross. Praising Him for the forgiveness of their sins. Praising Him for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Worshiping and loving God. Amen. And then the crowd, the world came in. The crowd gathered around. And they said, what does this mean? What means this? This looks like foolishness to me. Amen. I don't know. Have you ever been asked the question, you mean you're going to church again today? Is that all you folks do is just go to church? Is that all you do, just go to church? Didn't you know that there's other things to do? Didn't you know there's other places to go? Yes, we know there's other things to do. Yes, I know there's other places to go. Hallelujah. You just go to church all the time? What's the meaning of you just going to, well, you know you can go just once a week and be all right? Once a month, time for Christ, just go a little bit just to satisfy the opinions of other men and the opinions of those that are around you. That's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hallelujah. In this hallowing day that we're living in, let me tell you, church, thank God you're out there working in a world that's full of wisdom, but it's a depressing situation. Hallelujah! You go to school, and it's a depressing situation. You're rubbing shoulders with depressing situations. Oh, it's refreshing to get to the house of God. Take just and rub shoulders with somebody that loves God too. About the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. Wisdom of the world teaches you how to make a living, but the wisdom of God teaches you how to live. And you come into the house of the Lord so depressed, and you get together with the children of God, and then somebody says, praise the Lord, and you ain't heard that in 2 or 3 days. Somebody says, hallelujah, and you haven't heard that in 2 or 3 days. Praise God from somebody else. You just heard it as you prayed. Amen. It's so refreshing. And you need that, and it lifts you up. You come to the house of God, and I go to the house of God. I can go every day. I can go every night. Amen. I know there's other things out there, but there is nothing as profitable as going to the house of God. Praise God. There is nothing that will help me like going to the house of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The world said it's foolish for you to go so much. What means this? What's the meaning of you going? What's the meaning of the way you live? What means this? Oh, I love holiness. Praise. I'm not going to preach on holiness, but I love holiness. I said, I love holiness. I love holy living. Thank God. I think the child of God in this world we live in stands out like a sore thumb. And it ought to be that way. Oh, God. Oh, God, I love holiness. What means this? What's the meaning of all of this? Praise God, it looks foolish in the eyes of a Gentile world. Amen. What's the meaning of the cross? What's the meaning of your preaching the cross? That God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save everyone that believes. Hallelujah, everyone that will believe it, there is salvation in it. Oh, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, in the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It's the power of God, hallelujah, the preaching of this gospel of the death, of hell, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It will make a new picture out of you. Hallelujah. All things will pass away, and all things do become new. It's the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of this world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it means. It means a new life. It means a way of life. It means power, hallelujah. It means strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. What means the running of the aisles? What means the dance, the shout? What means the speaking in tongues? That's foolish. The world has tried to take the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and explain it away. Amen. They try to take the book and explain it away. Hallelujah. One fellow had his Bible. He'd go up to his preacher and he said, what does this mean? He said, oh, that's not for us today. That was for years ago. So he just tore the page out. He said, that's not for us today. So he'd go up and ask him, what does this mean? That's not for us today. That was for them years ago. Amen. He'd tear that part out. What does this mean? And he cared little by little. One day the preacher came to his house and got his Bible and began to look at it. And he said, man, what in the world happened to your Bible? He said, I'm just reducing it to what you say is for us today. Amen. Just want to know, I want you to know every word for us. Hallelujah. Some way or other we can get an example or something out of it. Praise God, but the world in its wisdom is busy explaining it away. But all the wisdom of God wants to reveal it to your mind. He wants to reveal it to your heart. He wants to show you the truth of it. Thank God. And let His glory, if I say His glory, His glory be revealed in your soul and in your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, I am determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know much about the wisdom of the world. Praise God. I'm interested in enough of it to get by. I've met somebody invented air conditioners. I've met somebody got the right sports. I've met that we can use what we've got here today. That's the only thing I want to use that the wisdom of the world has brought into existence to better help us carry the gospel and tell men how to live. Praise God. But I'm determined to know nothing among you except shouting and praising God and speaking in tongues and God and receiving the Holy Ghost and exhortation and rebuke. And God, I'm interested in knowing the things of Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing the things of the cross. That's the wisdom of God. That's the power of God. You come to church when you come to the house of God. Forget the computers. Hallelujah. Forget the lathes and things of the machine shop. Forget the other things that you're using and utilizing. Forget the higher learnings that you have learned. When we come here not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it comes to the demonstration of the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I am determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. I want His glory
to be revealed in you. His glory, everybody say His glory. His glory, His glory. His glory to be revealed in me. His glory to be revealed in you. Thank God, thank God, thank God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He ordained this for our glory. And it has been hidden through the ages, and it's still hidden in such a in a certain way, and people are still asking the question, what means all God? Let us be ready to give Him an answer. Oh, hallelujah! There is a hope that rises in us. And get us ready to tell the world that Jesus saves. And get us ready to tell the world that He's the mighty God. And get us ready to tell the world that He'll change your life. And get us ready to tell the world, amen, that He'll make your life worth living. He'll make your life worth living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princesses of this world knew. Which none of the princesses of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they would have known the effects or the glory that God was going to reveal in the heart of a man through the cross. Through the cross. They would have never hung Him on it. It wasn't that they didn't know Him. The devil knew Him. And he trembled. Praise God. He said, I know you. He knew Him. But he did not know the glory that was going to be revealed in a man through Him. Hanging on the cross. How many of you got the Holy Ghost today? Wave your hands. Just wave it. Just wave your hands. Ooh, hallelujah. The princesses of this world did not know that hidden wisdom and that glory that God wanted to reveal in the soul of a man. Hallelujah! And so therefore, they hung Him on a cross. If they would have known the effects that that cross was going to have in 1983, they would have never hung Him there. But they did not know. They just simply did not know. It was hidden, but it's revealed to us. Hallelujah! Oh, Sister Audrey, it's been revealed. Praise God. It's been revealed. Yeah. Praise God. It's in this house right now. The glory of the effect of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. That takes a drunkard, an alcoholic, that takes a drug addict, that takes a man that is a good clean moral man and just cleans him up and makes a new creature out of him. The glory that is revealed and gives him a power within his soul. That's the wisdom of God. Oh, that's the wisdom of God. That's what it teaches you how to live. Thank God. It takes an old stony heart out and puts a heart of flesh in there. It takes a cold, hard, violent, evil heart out and puts a heart that's warm and pliable and full of love down on the inside of a man. It changes him completely. The effects of Calvary, the effects of the preaching and the cross has just made a new creature out of you. Nothing else can do that. All the learning of this world will not do that. All the wisdom collectively put in your little mind that is in this world could not do that. Hallelujah. But the simple preaching of the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ
walked up a hill for you. Jesus Christ went down on a cross for you. Jesus Christ shed His blood, gave His life for you. Hallelujah. And the preaching of the cross and God, the wisdom of God and the effects of that cross begins to take a hold in your heart. Amen. And you start crying and you don't know why you're crying. Hallelujah. The tears start rolling down your cheeks and you don't know why they're going down. It's the effects of the cross. It's the effects of Calvary. Hallelujah. It's the effects, amen, of Him that hung on the cross.
You're on your job and you hear a still small voice
within your soul. Amen. That says, take me to God. And you don't understand it. It's the effects of the cross. The power of God. The wisdom of God that wants to teach you how. Oh.
You've never known true life until you become acquainted with the love of God.
Never.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that cross preached brings a tremendous effect upon a man's life. Thank God. And it creates within him and gives him a direction and a desire. Old things passed away. Things you once loved, you don't love them anymore. That's a miracle. But that's the effects of power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the effects of the cross. Whenever He fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to hate some of the things you're doing now. I said, when He fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're going to hate some of the things you're doing now. And some of those things that you do that do not have a love for now, oh, they're going to be in your sight with love in your heart. Hallelujah. And you're going to cling to them and love them when God fills you with the Holy Ghost. When the effects of Calvary, when the glory of God is revealed in your life and in your heart. Hallelujah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Thank God. Thank God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness of God. For it is written, He taketh the wives in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful life that God gives us here. I've heard many people say it and make the statement, well, if this was the only part, the only reward there was for living for God, I would take this Holy Ghost-filled life. Hallelujah. It's a joy. It's a peace. It's a satisfaction. There's a contentment in it. There's a beauty in living for God. Hallelujah. The effects of the cross. Nothing else will affect you like the cross. Nothing else will do for you what the cross will do. Nothing else can. You find yourself in the same position that Paul found himself in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. You'll be wanting to do something good, but evil is present. The things that you would, you do not. The things that you would not, those you do. Amen. How many times have you tried? Or how many times did you try to quit certain habits and certain things before the cross took its effect in your heart and in your life? And then when the cross became effective in your soul, hallelujah, those things were very small, very cheap. We heard a girl testify just a couple of weeks ago. She prayed through and spoke in tongues, received the Holy Ghost at the altar there in the church we were preaching in. Went back the next night and she stood up. She said, I got up this morning and said, I looked at those things that yesterday meant so much to me, but they look so cheap this morning. They look so cheap. Those things look so cheap. Calvary does make a difference. Hallelujah! Calvary does make a difference. You said, I can't do it. Why don't you give God a chance to do it in you? Hallelujah! If you don't think you can do it, just let Calvary take its effect upon you. You'll find that you can do it with ease. Oh, hallelujah! Talking about the wisdom of God. Amen. The wisdom of God. Amen. But not only is our reward here, not only is the wisdom of God going to get us by here. Amen. But do you realize, whenever a person gets the Holy Ghost, do you realize what you have got? Took me a long time to really realize what I've got to hold.
I am going to reign with him. Hallelujah. I am going to reign with him as a king or a priest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The glory that is to be revealed within you is being revealed in your heart now. Thank God for knowledge. You know that day is soon approaching, as I talked about a while ago. It could happen the day that Jesus Christ would split the eastern sky. Thank God, come back for his church, and we would get out of here. Amen. We know we see through a glass darkly now, but one of these days we're going to see face to face. Oh, we're going to know even as we are also known. Amen. I've heard people say, when I get there, I've got a lot of questions. Forget it. You won't have to ask them. Thank God you're going to have the same kind of a mind. You're going to know even as he also knows you. You're going to know. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to hold the Sunday at end if we can really understand. And if you could really understand today, you wouldn't sit back in that seat. You would have already been in this altar saying, God, I want the effects of Calvary upon my heart. Hallelujah. He's going to come. He's going to take us home. And I'm not worried about all the theology of when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, how long it's going to be and everything. But I know we're coming back. Hallelujah. We're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Praise God. Kings and priests. They're yours. I'm telling you, this world belongs to the church. All things are yours. The effects of Calvary. You've got victory over death. You've got victory over life. Praise God. Victory is in your bottom when Calvary affects you in the manner that it wants to affect you.
Oh, God, it makes me so sad.
To think the people walk to Calvary with tears in their eyes and are turned away with a simple handshake or the signing of a register.
But they walk to Calvary after Calvary has been preached, feeling the effects of Calvary. Hallelujah. And they walk to an altar. They come there with all sincerity of heart
and are turned away. Turned away. Turned away with a handshake. Turned away with the wisdom of men. Turned away with the understanding of men. Oh, but friends, thank God, I want you to know if you'll come fall on your face before Calvary. Just say, Lord, forgive me, sin. Forgive me.
Wash my sins away.
Walk to a watery grave and be buried with it.
Thank God,
you will receive a life-changing experience.
You'll wake up tomorrow morning with things looking cheap that you hold so tangible today.
Thank God, a life-changing experience awaits you at Calvary. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man can never do for you what God can do for you this day. I'm not talking about tomorrow or years to come. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But now the glory that can be revealed in your heart today. The glory that can be revealed in your soul today. Thank God if you just come to Calvary. Let the effect of the cross do its work in your life. Walk away from here a new man, a new creature in Christ.